Welcome to Adults Do Disney. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Lawrence.
And we are two Disney nerds talking about doing Disney parks without children.
And this time we're going to start comparing a few rides and attractions, but we're going to do it in the form of an award ceremony.
That's
so,
right.
What is the first category?
The first category is Best Mountain.
Best Mountain.
And the nominees are Splash Mountain and Expedition Everest.
This is already a contentious point, isn't it? Because a lot of people, there are a lot of mountains on Disney properties, and a lot of people have a lot of opinions on which is the best one.
Yeah, there's going to be an element of subjectivity to this. I mean, my personal favourite is those two, Splash Mountain, because it's everything. It's a wet ride, it's a dark ride, and it's a thrill ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what they call plussing it over at Disney Imagineering.
What's that then?
So when they plus it, that means they take an existing ride concept, such as the log flume, which is at the heart of Splash Mountain, and they add other elements to it and basically take it to another level, a more imaginative level that other theme parks may not have done.
And that's why the ride is a really good length, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It takes ages, and I really enjoy that because it allows you to settle in and enjoy the different components.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you prefer, I think, Expedition Everest, don't you?
It's borderline for me, but I do feel that that is the best roller coaster that Disney has.
What makes you say that?
Well, it's also a long ride, and you start off on a kind of this sort of gently rolling, very natural landscape. And
we
then
shouldn't reveal the surprise, actually. There is a surprise on the ride, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, what, halfway through?
Yeah,
there is a surprise. And so from a storytelling point of view, it's great as well. That's another example of plussing it.
Actually, I suppose Expedition Everest really utilises the mountain.
It really does, because the main, obviously, there's a main drop in any roller coaster, and in Expedition Everest, that is a spectacular drop. It's really, it was one of those drops that you can see coming, and it just takes longer than you think it will.
Yeah.
Because of just the size of it, and the G-force is incredible.
And even on the way up, there's Nepalese prayer flags and things,
yeah,
isn't there, to make
yeah,
you feel
yeah.
like you're really there.
And
whereas I suppose Splash Mountain, actually a lot of the dark ride element takes place on ground level, doesn't it? It's Songs of the South sort of stories.
The Song of the South stories are all there, but then you get winched up into this mid-level, which I always find amazing with these water rides. How do they manage to keep a kind of steady flow of water going on so many different levels?
Magic.
Absolute magic. It's like a really complicated lock system.
Mm.
Oh, it's amazing. I don't know how they do it.
So what are we going to go for then? Who's going to win Best Mountain? I mean, Splash Mountain is a great ride, but maybe it's not as mountainous as
Everest. I think the most mountainy mountain in that category is, in fact, Everest.
Okay, so the winner for most mountainy mountain is Everest.
That's now what the award is called, most mountainy mountain.
Yeah. Okay, next award is Trippiest Attraction.
Trippiest Attraction.
And the nominees are Small World and Carousel of Progress.
There's a lot of things in Disney parks that are pretty trippy, aren't they?
Yeah, and maybe to a certain extent they're trippy mainly because the technology is a little outdated now. So Carousel of Progress looks old-fashioned,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's great and charming, and we've talked about it at length elsewhere, because it does have an impact, actually.
It's one of the most memorable things in the park.
But it might be trippy purely because of the strange, the fact that you're in a Disney park and everything is absolutely pristine and done to a really high level, and then you get this quite anachronistic.
You get an old animatronic.
Yeah,
don't you,
and it's great because of that. Don't get me wrong, love it.
And the voice recordings are old as well. There's something about the delivery of things recorded, voiceovers recorded in the 1960s. They just have a particular character, you know. You start and you get the guy, and he talks like this, and that's the voice. They all spoke like that in the 60s. It's like in the UK, you have BBC voice, which is BBC posh.
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
this very old-fashioned voice, which doesn't exist anymore. And I think that's the American equivalent, and you can really hear that there. So you're kind of immediately transported to another time. Slightly.
Yeah, yeah, and it does feel a little out of place, but that's but also it reminds you of the foundations of Disney. I think. However, Small World is arguably, even though it's also using very older theme park technology, you could argue that it is trippy for other reasons.
It's pretty psychedelic from start to finish. I mean, the song is relentless.
Yeah.
At least you get a little bit of a break from the song on the Carousel of Progress. But the fact that the song continues seamlessly going through the entire experience in different languages, and one verse finishes and then the next chorus starts and it just goes on and on.
I'd say the Paris one, which is obviously younger, is better than the Florida one.
I'd agree with that, actually.
Because it's a bit muted, the Florida one, because it's so old, I suppose.
You can't really hear what they're saying, can you?
Yeah, yeah, whereas it's blasting into your face in Paris.
Yeah,
and the colours are a lot brighter as well.
Yeah.
So if we're going for trippy... Yeah.
So the Paris It's a Small World, you reckon, is the trippiest thing on property?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the singing dolls in their national costumes, and the fact that the last area of Small World is some weird white area where everyone looks like they're dead, angel dolls.
My interpretation of this has always been that we are in some kind of afterlife.
Yeah.
And we're all united in death.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
like,
trippy.
Oh, we might have differences in life, but the common thing that we all share is we're all going to die.
And that sounds like a late night conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That does sound like a, hey man, you know, we're not so different.
Yeah.
You know, the kids of Nepal are not so different to the kids of Andalusia. And maybe we're all going to be united in death.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
So I think we have a clear winner there in the trippiest attraction.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, the award for trippiest attraction goes to Small World. Okay, next one. Most embarrassingly moving.
There's a lot of things that could be embarrassingly
moving. Yeah, because you don't really want to tear up at the Disney parks, do you?
You don't, but even though a lot of people do.
Oh, yeah. I've subtly wiped away a few tears many times.
Of course you have. And my vote for this goes to...
Oh, well, we haven't said the nominees yet.
Oh, okay. Go on.
So the nominees are... Do you want to say it?
So the nominees are The Great Movie Ride and Cinemagique, which is unique to the... What's it called in Paris? It's not called... It's called... the Disney Studios Park. It's not called Hollywood Studios.
Oh, right, but it's essentially...
But it's a similar feel to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's celebrating
the magic of movie making.
Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, golden age of Hollywood. Cinemagique has got Martin Short and...
Julie Delpy,
that's it.
And Alan Cumming as well.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And it's a kind of... It's a very cleverly done... story. So the first thing that happens is what appears to be an audience member stands up and answers his phone, and then he sort of falls through the cinema screen, and it's basically him trying to get back to the present day through the entire history of cinema. So he falls in and out of...
So he goes into a silent movie first.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah. And then he sort of falls into Once Upon a Time in the West... And then through, like...
And the bad guys, Alan Cumming. In every different portion of the film, Alan Cumming is always the bad guy, regardless of whether it's a silent movie or an action or a cowboy or whatever.
And then he falls in love with Julie Delpy, who also originates from the silent film, doesn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So he drags her along, or she comes along, because she's an adventuress herself, and so she goes through all the different movie tropes and
yeah, yeah. And all, he's sort of trying to get home, but also falling in love with her. And
maybe
we shouldn't reveal the story, but it's really beautifully done. And as with the end of The Great Movie Ride, which we've put in here for the same reason, it all kind of culminates in this sort of mega compilation of just great movie moments. And that's
what they share then, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with the music, I think. That
I
kind
think
of
so.
Soaring score that you get with classic movies.
They make great use of the Gone with the Wind soundtrack in that, which is that... Beautiful old theme.
Yeah.
And it just cuts right down to your heartstrings, doesn't it?
Cinemagique is going, isn't it?
I believe it's gone.
Ah!
It's either going or it's gone, to be replaced with some sort of Marvel attraction, which...
It's good, isn't it? I mean, we're going to love it. Whatever they replace it with, we're going to love it.
It's going to be great.
But there'll always be a place in our heart for Cinemagique, so maybe that should win this one.
I think so, and I think we need to do another episode about past attractions.
Yeah. Actually, Great Movie Ride is going as well,
isn't
it?
That's also going, yeah. to be replaced with what has been working titled the Great Mickey Ride.
Right, which, if you were Irish, would sound naughty.
Would sound naughty, and we've made that joke every episode so far. So let's move on from that.
Can't get away from the
most incongruous celebrity endorsement is the next category.
Okay, and the nominees are, there's three of them this time, Rock and Roller Coaster
with Aerosmith,
Rod Serling Twilight Zone, Michael Jackson Captain EO.
So yeah.
Okay, let's go through why they're incongruous.
Uh-huh.
So Michael Jackson is incongruous in the Disney park.
He is rather.
Although...
You did make this point that he was the biggest star in the world when
Yeah,
that...
and also there was always something... okay, this is contentious, obviously. A bit kid-friendly about Michael Jackson.
Well, he's because, childlike, isn't he?
Yeah, and Thriller and everything, you know, that really appeals to...
He's a school disco classic, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's not such a huge leap that Michael Jackson, I suppose.
Yeah.
Would be inserted into the Disney park.
Okay, it's a little bit incongruous in the 21st century, but the attraction has now gone from all Disney parks.
Yeah, so yeah. I think basically, yeah, they realised he was a contentious figure, perhaps, and so got
The same reason they moved the Bill Cosby head from the little bust garden of American Legends.
Yeah.
Yes, they've sensibly removed that head.
Yeah, you don't want those kind of conversations going down.
No, you don't. So Michael Jackson is now gone, so we're left with Rod Serling in the Tower of Terror and the Rock and Roller Coaster with Aerosmith.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly not saying we don't like the rides, by the way, because, oh my goodness, I love the rides. Yeah, so the Rod Serling Twilight Zone, I really love the fact that it's given a new flavour to the park.
Yeah, so the Tower of Terror has an element of some of the nicest immersion and the strongest theming of any attraction in any Disney park, I think.
Mm.
Which is great that they're keeping it in Florida while they're replacing it well, it's been replaced in Anaheim with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's just kind of weird that they've based it on a program that hasn't been on TV for decades.
No. So there's a good chance that actually no one there, not even the parents, will remember firsthand the Twilight Zone, will they?
Yeah, it's going to be more young grandparents
than
isn't it? Although, actually, having said that, there were repeats and I do remember seeing them myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're freaky as well.
They are freaky.
It's just a really odd marriage.
And the ride is quite scary.
Yeah.
It's one of the most frightening rides that they have, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't gone for kind of asinine horror. They've gone for real mind-bending stuff.
It's psychological stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, but the overall result is incredibly effective and it's one of the most memorable things in the Hollywood Studios park, I think. Whereas...
The Aerosmith. Rock and Roller Coaster. I love the Rock and Roller Coaster, but I love it as a functional roller coaster.
It's pretty functional, isn't it?
But every time, I'm always a bit like, what have Aerosmith got to do with Disney?
Definitely.
I mean, I suppose actually they did do... it was Independence Day, Disney.
Independence Day is not Disney, and that's not what they did. They did the soundtrack to Armageddon, theme song from Armageddon.
Is that Disney?
Well, Armageddon. I'm not sure, but it must have some kind of license for Disney because the Armageddon special effects attraction has a place in Disneyland Paris, if you recall.
Yes, that's right.
There's a sort of special effects exhibit in Disneyland Paris where you go into the Russian space station, Mir, which features in the film Armageddon, and you see a load of... so you're in the sort of bridge of that space station and you see a load of special effect pyrotechnics.
I've just looked up. No, it's not Disney.
No affiliation with Disney whatsoever.
Yep. So that's another kind of slightly weird connection. I mean, it's not like Disney do not have many films attached to them.
No, they don't.
So I don't know why they'd go for Armageddon. Going back to what we were talking about, Aerosmith. Not really a child-friendly band.
Has Aerosmith ever really been like the biggest band in the world?
Well, they are one of the biggest bands.
I'd say.
However, they're not really. They're just not. They're not very Disney.
It's an odd choice, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I like the incongruous elements. I think it really adds something to it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you suddenly in a rock studio Aerosmith are going, we have to get to the club.
Yeah.
Get in this huge stretch limousine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's done better in...
going to a club with Aerosmith?
Well, you're going to the show, aren't you? Or to an after party or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's done a lot better in Florida than it is in Paris. In Paris, you're in this recording studio with Aerosmith. And then suddenly Steven Tyler comes in and goes, whoa, I've just been trying out this new roller coaster. And it makes no sense.
Hey, guys, let's get in the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like, it's basically, here's a roller coaster, but before, here's a quick message from Aerosmith.
Yeah, a public service announcement from Aerosmith.
Which is very odd. I think that's got to be the winner, hasn't it?
Because at least in Florida, they're like, oh, we got to get here, and we got to get here fast.
Yeah,
what do we do?
There's a story to
Let's get in the stretch limo, and hey, guys, you're my friends now. I don't know what you're doing hanging around in a recording studio.
Yeah, there's a story to the ride, isn't there?
It would be quite funny if you were going to an after party, because I imagine after parties with Aerosmith are seedy.
Not very family friendly. Well, a little fact about the... I'm not sure if we should even talk about this, but the little fact about the Florida attraction is that they have recently edited out a thing that's only just been noticed in the video that goes before that ride, which is Steven Tyler, when he looks out over the guests as they come in, and they say, "Hey, look at all those people." He does an obscene hand gesture. He does the I'm not sure I should even say what it's called.
On.
Well, the one in the pink, two in the stink hand gesture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does it very quickly, which is very obscene.
That's a weird thing to suddenly do.
Yeah.
Why is he trying to pleasure all the guests at once?
Well, it's a really odd thing that Disney either missed for years or snuck in for
years.
As
if any kid is going to go, "Oh my God, he just did two in the pink, one in the stink."
Yeah.
Amazing.
But anyway, it's now been removed. It's been digitally edited out.
And that's one of the reasons why... Aerosmith, hello, what?
Probably.
What are they doing here?
Bit weird, bit incongruous, definitely the winner of this category.
But I love
I would say.
I love the fact that they're there.
I like the fact that they're
Yeah,
there.
Actually, are they going to win?
Oh, definitely.
More than Twilight Zone?
Oh, definitely. I think it's hands down Aerosmith is the
weirdest. Yeah, just for two in the pink.
Yeah, one in the sting.
Okay, so next one is nominee... So the award is most vomit-inducing. So this is both in a... Oh, this is in a literal sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not talking nauseating as in it's a bit saccharine or anything.
Yeah.
We're talking literally chuck your lunch up. So the nominees are
Mad Tea Party
and
Star Tours. The adventure continues.
I mean, Mad Tea Party is famously vomit-inducing.
That's a famously chucking up your lunch attraction, isn't it? And you can see why.
Yeah,
you've got motion sickness a go-go going on there.
Yeah, and
however,
then, I don't think if they obviously have never thought, okay, let's streamline this engineering wise. Let's make it a bit less.
I don't see how you could really. I mean, you're still moving in the same sort of way. It's a circle within a larger circle.
Yeah, spinning is spinning. Isn't
it? Spinning is spinning. If you're going to have a spinning teacup ride. It's a classic ride form, and it's always had the same effect.
If it wasn't one of the original rides, there's no way it'd still be there. If they introduced it sort of 10 years on, everyone started chucking their guts up. They'd be like, we need to get rid of this.
Well, and also, you know, it's pretty old school now. The Imagineers would plus it in some way, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it is a bit like something you'd find in a carnival.
It's very carnival, isn't
it? Yeah. And then we have Star Tours, and this very much depends, I think, on your eyesight as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't have this reaction to Star Tours, but you do.
Every time it makes me feel sick.
Yeah, and my mum is the same.
Yeah, and it's really annoying because I want to... Because they've got several different...
scenarios.
Yeah, scenarios.
So now the original Star Tours ride was just a fixed simulator experience, but they've now upgraded it to Star Tours The Adventures Continue, where it's actually a generative ride. So
there's six different scenarios,
isn't there? There's actually more like 50.
Really?
It's a huge number of different combinations.
So you can keep going back on it. And actually, the times that we've been on it, there's not been much of a queue either. So you can just go round and round and round, but not if you feel like you're going to be sick.
And every time you ride it, it will be different. So you'll either go to a space battle, or you'll end up under the sea with the Gungans, or you'll be on Tatooine in a pod race. And it will be different every time.
And I've had to let you go on your own in the end, haven't I?
Yeah.
Because I just can't take it anymore.
You can't handle it.
I wonder if it's because I've got that, the rugby ball shaped eyes.
You've got an astigmatism,
haven't
you?
Astigmatism, yeah. So I can never see a magic eye picture either.
Does the 3D work for you?
Yeah, apart from my eyes, it might be the same with everyone. They adjust after a while and they flatten it.
Okay.
So for a while, and then I'll get the occasional burst of 3D.
Right.
But mainly my brain is working overtime to flatten the image.
It's quite subtle, the 3D on that ride.
Right.
So perhaps it wouldn't necessarily be that obvious.
Yeah. But that makes me probably sicker. No, they both make me equally as sick.
Should we have this a tie?
Well, actually, if Star Tours doesn't make you sick.
No, it doesn't.
Then I think we're going to have to go for Mad Tea Party.
It's going to have to be the old school lunch regurgitator of the teacups.
Yep.
That harkens back to... Because when Disneyland first opened, you didn't pay an entrance fee. You paid for individual rides.
No way.
Like a carnival. Yeah. So that is, so you would get... If you look at the memorabilia left over from press day, you have a ticket stub that basically says, this ticket entitles you to... 5 rides of this category and 2 rides of this other category, which is why they call the big rides, they call them e-ticket attractions.
Oh, that really is like a fairground then, isn't
it? Yeah. So the e-ticket was, so they had categories from A, A to E, and the A categories were like the streetcars that go down Main Street, the very gentle things, and they went up in sort of thrill factor,
right,
to through to E. And so things like the Matterhorn bobsleds and Pirates of the Caribbean and so on, that would be E-ticket attractions. And the phrase has remained.
How about that?
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly how I think Epcot should still run. But that's another story. We're going to talk about Epcot on another podcast.
Epcot.
But I really think you should pay for the individual things and not to get in there.
Well, that's a topic for discussion.
It is. Anyway, back on to the next award category, which is Most Brain-Addling Song.
Most Brain-Addling Song.
So the nominees for this, The Tiki Room.
The Tiki, 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 Tiki Room.
The Tiki, Tiki, Tiki Room. And the Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
From
There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Also from the Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we might as well just call this podcast the Carousel of Progress.
We do love it. So I'm going to say Tiki Room.
You reckon the Tiki Room?
Yeah, once you've been in the Tiki Room, that song will follow you around for the next few days.
It really will.
Mm.
I mean, they are both guilty of this to some extent, but I think the Tiki, 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 Tiki Room, I can't even bring myself to just call it Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room, which is its official title.
You have to go the Tiki Tiki.
You have to be the Tiki 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 Room because that's how the song goes.
Tiki 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 Room.
Yeah, I think this is fairly quick to where the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
Yeah, I see. I've only got the tune in my head. Thankfully, I haven't got the individual lyrics.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, I do know Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. So
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you did did. If we weren't in the show singing right away, we'd be in the audience too,
wow,
all together in the tiki,
yeah, tiki, tiki,
yeah,
tiki,
it stayed
tiki
in my head.
Room in the tiki. Okay, I think Tiki Room.
I know what I'd give my vote to.
Yeah, Tiki Room. Okay, next one. The award is Most Total Immersion. So we got three categories, three nominees for this. Pirates of the Caribbean, Crusher's Coaster, which is a Paris ride, and Dinosaur, what's it called?
Dinosaur.
Oh, it's just called Dinosaur.
That's what it's called.
That's like they gave up trying to name it.
Dinosaur.
Dinosaur. What's it about?
Well, it's a movie tie-in. It's tied in with the film Dinosaur. Do you remember that?
No.
It was pretty much a failed Disney film, but it's left over this attraction, which is quite good.
The attraction is great.
It is very good.
I love it.
The only other remnants of that film, Dinosaur, are what's left over in the studio backlot tour in the Paris park.
Yeah.
So that attraction has gone from Hollywood Studios, but the
oh,
backstage...
Has it?
Yes, it has.
I did wonder why we were learning so much about a film that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of props left over from Dinosaur, and they all look really grubby and really, like, in dire need of a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
But the dinosaur ride in Animal Kingdom is great.
Yeah, yeah. Really fantastic.
It's very similar to the Indiana Jones ride in Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
It uses the same track technology. It's basically the same ride.
Ooh, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I squeezed Crusher's Coaster into this total immersion thing purely because I really love Crusher's Coaster.
It is a great roller coaster, and I think it's unique to Paris as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure actually it does immerse you that much. It's just a fantastic coaster. So
yeah, it's a spinning coaster. It's a little bit like the Primeval Whirl coaster,
yeah,
next to Dinosaur in Animal
yeah,
Kingdom.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't immerse you at all. In fact, at one point, you spin out of the dark, because it's in the dark.
It's an indoor dark ride, yeah.
Yeah, but you spin out of it at one point and go into the park as well, don't you? And then come, you know,
yeah,
just for,
there's a little
just
bit
for
in
a
the
tiny, tiny bit.
There's a bit in the open air.
So actually, it's not remotely immersive, so let's ignore
so
that
so we
one.
Can rule out Crush.
But I just really recommend it, because
so it's
great.
Between Pirates of the Caribbean, the classic,
ugh,
and Dinosaur.
I mean, God, I love Pirates. How can anyone not love Pirates of the Caribbean?
I think Pirates has probably got to win it. This is my feeling. Although it's Dinosaur is quite scary.
Yeah,
I
actually felt my adrenaline pumping.
It's much more of a thrill ride than Pirates.
Yeah. Oh, I think this might be our first tie.
Do you reckon we have a tie here?
Pirates and Dinosaur, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you ever choose between Pirates and Dinosaur?
Yeah, those are the two of the most brilliant things ever.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a tie.
A genuine tie.
Okay, next one. Best Patriotic Bombast.
Patriotic Bombast.
And the nominees are...
The Hall of Presidents and The American Adventure.
Yeah.
How do you choose between these two on the category of patriotic
bombast? So which one is the one that goes, America?
Now that is an American Adventure.
Spread your golden wings.
That's another very catchy song.
Fly on freedom's something.
Wing.
Wing. do they rhyme wings with wing? Because that's pretty bad.
With your golden dreams is
the
first
with
one.
Your golden dreams.
Spread... on Freedom's Wings or whatever.
Yeah, I love that song in that one. It's so ridiculous. You feel like standing up and putting your fist over your chest.
We're not even American, and we became swept up in the American pride watching that. And the best bit in that ride, or that show rather, is the moment where they suddenly bring in a Native American chief who sort of pops up for about 30 seconds to go, "Oh, also, we were here too."
Yeah.
And then they sort of quietly remove
it. It's like Disney's
it's like a disclaimer, isn't
apology.
It? Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, yes, I know.
Because all
the
other, it's really remarkable animatronics, isn't it? And it's series of tableaus. And in every other tableau, there's multiple animatronics doing things. Mm. And then this poor lone Native American pops up to go, "By the way, guys,
we also suffered hugely at the hands of the white man."
But it's not very, rousing. So,
well, it doesn't really tie in with this idea of the great land of the free, does it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's all this
oppression.
Have
they decided what they're doing with Trump?
Well, no, that's a good question. So the Hall of Presidents is closed at the moment, presumably to add the new Donald Trump animatronic.
Because normally what happens is they actually ask the president to record something.
The president records
a
speech, but Disney writes the speech for the president. So for the last 8 years, it's been Barack Obama, and the speech that he has in that attraction was written by Disney for him
to
say.
Disney writes to them?
Yes.
Amazing. They don't ask. You'd think you'd want a bit more control over that.
Well, you would, wouldn't
you? I wonder
you?
Who's got the job of writing Trump's.
Well, this is a very good question, because there's been a petition going around to have him be the first silent president, because anything that Disney writes for him would sound totally incongruous coming out of Donald Trump's mouth, and anything that Donald Trump writes on his own would just be a garbled mess. So I could,
they might get him to just say something like, "I love Disney."
Yeah, yeah.
And this then his animatronic can do a thumbs up.
"This is the best ride there's ever been, seriously. you know, we've got the best."
Yeah, if you don't like Disney,
this is the best ride in the world. So maybe I could see there would be a case for having a silent president. But then on the other hand, they've had the Richard Nixons in there. You know, there's a lot of controversial figures. You know,
I mean, it must be a bit of a nightmare, that entire section, you know, treading a fine line between patriotism and lying and awkward, uncomfortable, embarrassing
truth.
Moments in the past.
In history, yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, terrible things happening.
Yeah. Without delving too much into the politics, it's a minefield, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. They want a feel-good experience. Well, how do you do that when history is not that feel-good?
It's checkered. It's a checkered history.
I think for the winner of Best Patriotic Bombast, just for the song alone, though, we're going to have to go for
It's the Hall of... It's the American Adventure, isn't it?
I think so.
Because the Hall of Presidents feels educational, but it doesn't sweep you up in the same way that... well, as a non-American, I don't know what the impression would be.
Yeah. Well, they're actually, with the most embarrassingly moving, I think I did find some of the... not so much connected to the presidents, but connected to the history, you know, like the suffrage movement and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There are moments that they have in they've animatronicked and... I think
in the American
really
Adventure,
nice.
You mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's American Adventure, obviously, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But then having Morgan Freeman... sum up the history of a still pretty young and pretty amazing country is quite moving, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there's an argument for that.
You know, it's contentious to even say it's a young country when people, you know, it's been peopled with its people.
Yeah, you're right.
It's pre-European people.
I think we should probably move on from patriotic bombast as we're stepping
into... It's always going to be an awkward one, isn't it?
Yeah, we're stepping into dangerous territory.
Yeah.
But I think American Adventure wins for us.
Yeah.
So,
okay, next
up. Next
one. Most inexplicably long queue time. So, really, we're not massively keen on these rides, are we?
So, we have nominated Soarin' and the Tomorrowland Speedway.
Or as we call it, the Mum Jiggler.
The Mum Jiggler. Now, that's specifically because in Disneyland Paris, there is a bridge which the queue winds across. And you can look down and see the cars going past.
Yeah, they say it's a viewing platform.
It's a viewing platform of something.
So we stood there and went, "Oh, let's see what this ride's like." And just because of the nature of the ride, it means that ladies get jiggled around quite dramatically.
Yeah.
So we nicknames it the Mum Jiggler.
So there's always a lot of dads standing on that bridge going, I'll just wait here. You guys go on it. I'm happy to stand here and just watch.
Yeah. As for Soarin'... Yeah, I just felt like they could have done so much better with, you know, like I feel like they should have done transitions between the images that you see on the screen.
Well, we should say at this point that we haven't experienced Soarin' around the world. which is the new incarnation of Sorin.
Right.
Because originally it was all just America, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I had the same problem that you had with the original Sorin, which is there were no joins. It just jumps. It jump cuts from one thing to another.
Yeah, so you're going over a huge wheat field or something, and then suddenly you're
in the Grand Canyon.
Mountain. Yeah. And without doing a join, you suddenly become very aware that you're just watching videos.
And they've got
together.
This enormous curved IMAX screen, and you know you can feel the wind in your hair, and you really do feel like you're flying, except for the fact that you're constantly being reminded that you're watching a film.
Yeah, so it could have been great. Mm. I think.
So we went to on our first trip to Florida. We went and experienced that ride. And went, that's okay. And then the next day we went to Universal Islands of Adventure and went into the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey in Hogwarts, which is another level.
Yeah, we're like, this is how you do it.
This is how you do it.
Oh no, Disney are falling behind.
Yeah, but
we don't believe that.
We don't believe that.
But we do think Sorin lets them down.
Sorin is, I think, a little overrated.
I really hope Sorin. Well, his nickname's Snorin.
Snorin. Well, we nicknamed it Snorin.
I thought I saw it online.
Oh, maybe you did.
Snoring. I don't think we're the only ones to go
snoring.
Was that it?
Boring, soaring.
Okay, next one. So
hang on, we didn't decide a winner.
Oh, inexplicably long queue time.
Sorin has an amazingly long queue time for what it is.
Yeah, Sorin. Definitely Sorin.
Because
I can understand kids wanting to ride around in little cars, even though that's a bit fairground as well, if you ask.
It's pretty fairground,
me.
But that's another original. That was also there when... That was another one of Walt's.
Yeah.
But, you know, Walt was a man of his time. And we have come on a little way since then. And I'd have thought there are some originals that are really worth riding, like Peter Pan's Flight.
Yeah, but some of them need to be retired, don't they?
I think that maybe it's time for this one to go.
Oh, maybe Tomorrowland Speedway then.
Yeah, I reckon maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right, next one. Next and last one.
Yeah.
So we're going to finish with the award for the most quintessential Disney attraction.
So this is something that you really feel you could only find in the Disney parks.
Yeah. So we have Tiki Room again, and we have Country Bear Jamboree. I mean, we could have had also the Carousel of Progress.
You could easily have that. You could have any of the bizarre animatronic shows that Walt was so in love with.
Yeah, we're just trying to stop talking about the Carousel of Progress.
For basically. 5 minutes.
Yeah, so we're just going to say Tiki Room, Country Bear Jamboree.
I mean, the Tiki Room is pretty great, but I think my vote in this instance would go for the Country Bear Jamboree.
I really liked the Country Bear Jamboree.
Of course, because it's great. It's really good fun, and it's got a wicked sense of humour. There's some dark elements to it.
What are the dark elements?
One of the songs is about blood.
Oh.
Which I can't remember how the song goes.
Is it the sort of torch song by the lady bear?
It might be that, or it might be the one that's sung by the huge bear who has a really deep voice.
Ah.
There's some very kind of gothic country,
yeah.
Hank Williams kind of very dark...
Old Americana.
Yeah. It's this kind of dark end of country music, which is not often, you know, you expect in a thing called the Country Bear Jamboree, you expect jug bands and banjos and guys, you know, grabbing your partner by the hand and all that.
And but you get a bit of that, but
you do get plenty of that.
There's also a lot of, yeah.
But there's some weird, there's some weird choices in the songs in that attraction.
But then, old cartoons and everything, they did not shy away from the dark.
No, they were dark, weren't
they? Yeah, yeah. So that's why, again, it's got a nice not old fashioned, that's the wrong way to put it, because that makes it sound like you have no connection to it anymore.
Vintage.
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 Yeah.
Classic vintage.
It's got a vintage feel. Yeah, should we go for Country Bear Jamboree?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of, there are a few. Of Walt's original designs that are a bit dark, like the redhead scene in Pirates of the Caribbean, which is now... So there's the scene where the pirates are auctioning off brides.
Oh,
and
yes.
And the pirates go, "We want the redhead." And it says, "Shift your cargo, dearie. Show them your larboard side."
But then that's pirates all over, isn't it? Pirates
it is.
Have been made to be child-friendly when, in fact, pirates are murdering,
horrendous.
Raping.
They're one of the worst people in history, pirates, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's mad that they've become...
They wouldn't have been very successful at pirating if they were not ruthless.
I love that little clip that someone found and posted on Facebook recently of a scene from the Disney program Jake and the Neverland Pirates, which is very popular with the little kids at the moment, where it says, "Hey kids, a good pirate never takes another person's possessions." I think Disney has fundamentally misunderstood or forgotten the definition of a pirate here.
That's like a good pope isn't a Catholic.
Yeah. It's pretty mad, isn't it?
Oh, right. Okay, so let's finish today with some honourable mentions, because yes, it feels wrong to talk about rides without mentioning Space Mountain, Paris especially.
Well,
mainly Paris.
I do love all the Space Mountains, but the one in Paris
is so cool.
My favourite ever Disney attraction is Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris circa 1996.
Actually, Space Mountain California circa 1989.
Wow, right.
Was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what it's like now. So yeah, it's probably been updated since then.
Oh, we need to go again.
That was great.
We need to go to
Whereas home. Florida Space Mountain, I was disappointed.
It's okay, but it's not that exciting. There's not a lot to look at.
No.
But the original incarnation of the Paris Space Mountain with the Jules Verne theming. Because it's sort of that ride was originally based on the Jules Verne short story From the Earth to the Moon. Mm-hmm. And that whole sort of steampunk, retro-futuristic Victorian element was what really programmed the Paris section of the section of the Paris park called Discovery Land, which is the equivalent of Tomorrowland.
I love how the Nautilus is in front of it as well.
They've kept their Nautilus.
Yeah.
Whereas the American parks have got rid of their Nautilus.
Nautilus, but nice.
But nicerless. So yeah, that's my favourite ride.
Yeah. Phantom Manor,
which is Paris's haunted mansion.
Oh yes, of course.
Which is the darkest of the haunted mansion rides in any Disney park.
Is it? It's all in French though, so unless you speak French, you don't.
Oh, but the feel of it is more serious, because in America, in American ones, you have the grim grinning ghosts. You have when the crypt doors creak and the tombstones creak.
You have that in the Paris one.
You do, but you don't have the voiceover. No. In the America parks, you have the ghost host who says, "There are 999 ghosts here," and it's all quite camp and silly.
Yeah.
Whereas in Paris, you get the feel that there's a darker story going on. The music is much more sinister. The images are more sinister.
Maybe it's
more
just
frightening.
Just because we don't trust the French.
No. The story is very different. There's a whole backstory associated with the Paris version of the Haunted Mansion, the Phantom Manor backstory, to do with the Ravenscroft family. Mm. And the Ravenscroft family are supposedly the family that own Thunder Mesa, which is basically the setting of Frontierland. So the Big Thunder Mountain, which is on an island in Paris, was the mining company. The Big Thunder Mining Company was the mining company owned by Lord Ravenscroft, who lived in the manor, which is on the nearby hill. And supposedly his manor now stands in disrepair after this wedding happened, where the jilted bride was left at the altar by her fiance, and then she now haunts the thing.
Is that different to the Florida one?
Yeah, it's a totally different story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know the California one?
I don't really know, but I think it's basically just, here's a house, there's loads of ghosts in it.
Oh, okay.
So the story's a lot simpler.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to at some point going to the Hong Kong one.
Oh, Mystic Manor.
Yeah, that looks great.
That does look good.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so, next one, next honourable mention, Big Thunder Mountain. So we've mentioned that.
Yeah.
In the Paris one is connected to the Haunted Mansion, isn't it?
It is, it, thematically, yeah.
Narrative-wise.
In terms of narrative, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a great ride.
They're all great, aren't they?
They're all, yeah.
That's a really good classic attraction, the old mine train.
Yeah, these are just things that really, if you go to the parks, you head straight for them,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, they're the e-ticket rides.
Yeah,
to coin an old phrase.
Yeah. So that's it, really. I mean, we could talk about rides till the cows come home.
I'm sure we'll do another thing similar to this at some point.
Well, we're going to have to go back to Disney World soon in order to see the new rides coming out.
There are a lot of things that we haven't experienced. We haven't experienced Pandora.
No. Paris is having a total rehaul as well.
Yes, Paris is getting some new rides.
When are they all coming out?
That's not really officially been announced yet, but the Rock and Roller Coaster in Paris is supposedly getting a Spider-Man makeover.
What? No more Steven Tyler?
No.
Doing two in the pink, one in the sting. Oh.
I think it's going to stay in Florida, but but there's going to be a Marvel injection into Paris.
Right.
There won't be a Marvel injection into Hollywood Studios in Florida because of Universal has the rights to do all the Marvel stuff.
Okay.
They can't do it.
Right. Cool.
But there's a lot of new attractions and things coming to Paris.
Yeah. And we need to get to Anaheim because I haven't been there in quite some time.
And I've never been there.
Anaheim.
Pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely remember it as well, so right, we need to go.
All right, we definitely need to
go. And obviously we need to go to Hong Kong, Japan and Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyone want to pay for us to do that?
Yeah. Send us some money.
Yeah.
There's a PayPal button on our on our iTunes thing.
So what are we going to talk about next time, Lawrence?
I think it's time to delve into Epcot.
Yeah.
We keep hinting at it.
Yeah, I've just got big plans for Epcot that I hope one day an Imagineer will listen to.
Well, so do Disney. Disney have announced a lot of new plans for Epcot.
Ooh.
So we'll compare your ideas with Disney's ideas and see which is better.
I think we know the answer to
that. I think we do.
Yeah.
And on that note, that's it. Yeah. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Adults Do Disney podcast. If there's any other things you'd like us to talk about, or if you want to tell us about any of your experiences as a grown-up in the Disney parks, you can email us at adultsdodisney@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook / Adults Do Disney and on Twitter @AdultsDoDisney.